And so, yeah, then I started going here my whole life. And my parents were Christian, and so we started going to the church often. And they eventually became serving the church. My mom was in choir, my dad was a deacon, and so I had to go to church every single day of my life. And at the time, growing up as a sixth grader, up until sixth grade, I was kind of the kid. I was kind of a bit of show off. I had a really good memory as a kid, and I would always claim oh, I know this verse. Oh, I know this action. Oh, I know what to do. Just not obviously not doing for God, but doing for my own glory, doing for my own attention. And this was because this is because I had a struggle with self-identity. I guess you could say identity crisis. If you guys can raise your hand, who's a middle child here? So a few guys. So, okay, I'm not saying this for every middle child, but majority of people that I've met are middle children. We've always grown up with some sort of identity crisis. Who are we? What do we who are we, I guess? And growing up, I did not know what that was because I had an older sister. She was seen as the example. She was seen as the one I have to follow. But then I had a younger brother too, and he was the more crazy one, the more wild one. And it's what do I do? Do I just balance both? Am I my own person? What do I do? And growing up, I really didn't know what to do. So I just found other ways that I could input my feelings. And this was through church. This was through just getting a joy, getting attention from others, and being this good Christian kid. And so I was always going to church, but I didn't really know who Jesus was. And I always heard the songs oh, Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, that stuff. And I know what that meant, but I didn't know truly what did it mean that Jesus loved me so much? And yes, I know that the cross, but I didn't really understand the full depth of that. And growing up, from sixth grade, it was really fun. It was I could do whatever, I mean, not whatever I want, but I had a good time with friends and stuff like that. Seventh grade came along, and I moved school districts. So my parents, we were living in the Rosemont area, if you guys kind of know where that is. It's kind of south of the highway, nearby that area. And then we moved actually 5 minutes away from here. So basically down the street. And so because of that, I had to move schools. And so sixth grade, I went to my old elementary school, but then seventh grade, I went to a completely different school. All my friends are going to Sutter, all my friends are going to Einstein Middle School. Where I went to middle school? Arden Middle School right there, across the street. And I had a really hard time because growing up in seventh grade, I realized how shy I was. I was only hyper and active because I had friends. But going to seventh grade, I had no friends. And also being very quiet, being very fat, and being very Asian, it was a very easy target for bullying. And so because of that, I had a really hard time. And same time as this, I had a hard time at church because I had no friends. I couldn't really know what to do. And I started to grow this anger towards God. I started to grow this anger towards God because I thought he loved me. I thought Jesus loved me. If he loved me, why am I going through this pain? Why am I going through all of this suffering? And I had so much of this bitterness towards people, towards my family, towards church, towards everyone, but especially towards God, I had it because I was so just angry. I was like, this is what I did all this stuff as a kid, God. This is how you repay me? This is how you pay me back? What is this? Is this what who you are? And growing up, I just struggled with that so much. And I hated going to church, and I hated going to Sunday school. But at the same time, I wanted to keep my image, that image of me being this good Christian kid. I wanted to keep this perception of me. I don't want people to think that I'm some loner, some emotional person. No. I wanted people to think that I'm some this good Christian guy that I'd be a role model to. And so I kept that image. And so I would pretend to be, oh, yeah, I could help out the church, or I could do this, and I could do that, yada, yada, yada. I could do all this stuff. But deep down, I hated doing it. I only did it because I wanted to please people. And I tried to think of ways what can I do? It's I want to fight back. I want to be able to fight back, but it's I don't know what to do. And it got to the point that's my life is incomplete. I don't know what I want to do my life. And it got to the point I got super depressed. And it got to the point that I wanted to kill myself. But even that, like, I was so scared of. I had such a fear of just, like, everything. And, like, I knew I wasn't going to kill myself because I was so scared of doing it. So I was like, what do I do? And then, like, at my 18th birthday, or not 18th birthday, like, when I turned, the year I turned 18, that was 2009, I believe. When you're baptized, I was baptized as a kid, and so when I was 18, I was confirmed. And that's time, like, I was, I guess you could say, a Christian, but I didn't know what that meant. And, like, I didn't know, like, is this it? Like, is this all that there is as being a Christian? I just say these words and I'm good? Is this what makes me go into heaven? What's the difference between me and, like, this other person who does not know Jesus Christ? Like, what's the difference? Because, like, if there's this one person, like, who basically who'd say he's a clone of me, he's right here, and, like, everything we do is the same. We have the same job, same school, we marry someone very similar, whatever. It's all the same. The only difference is that we don't go to church on Sunday. We don't go to church. Do I go to heaven and he goes to hell? Is that it? Like, I did not know. I thought, like, I didn't know what else was there. And, like, that's when, like, I knew had to be something more. Because if God was a really powerful God, there would be something more than this. It wouldn't be just going to church every Sunday. It wouldn't be just doing Bible study every Wednesday. Yes, those things are great. But there has to be more than that. And, like, I felt something was missing. And, like, there are times, like, so after this, like, I started going to college at Sac State. And, like, I knew that I had to deepen my relationship with God. I had to seek God more. I had to, like, basically read the Bible. I had to pray. I had to worship. I had to do these things just to, like, not because I had to, but because I wanted to. But at the same time, like, I'm going to school and I'm working. And it's like, oh, God, I'm too busy for you. I don't have time for you. And it's like, I just kept pushing it off and pushing it off. And, like, it got to this point that I was just like, I'm just going to keep doing my schoolwork. I'm going to keep doing school, keep doing work, keep serving my family. But then at the same time, I want to play video games. I want to play Super Smash Brothers. I want to do all these things. But I don't have time for God. I don't want time for God. It's not that I don't have time for God. It became I don't want time with God. That's what it became to. And, yeah, then around freshman year, actually, there was this program, this program that came to my church. And my pastor was supporting it. And he shared to this during a congregation similar to this, he shared, like, hey, youth kids, on Saturdays at 10 a.m., there's this mission organization. They're going to be, like, having this mission training program for 8 weeks. It's on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m., you guys want to come check it out, come check it out. It's like, they're going to be talking about God's heart. They're going to be talking about missions and all that stuff. I've heard of missions before. I went to Mexico a few times. And, like I said, like, okay, that was fun, I guess. I was like, whatever. And I initially wasn't going to do it because what kind of college kid wants to go to Saturday morning just to, like, spend 4 hours at this church? No one. College kids want to sleep in. They have to study. They have to do other things. They don't want to spend time at church for 4 hours on a Saturday morning. But then, like, my pastor at the time, my youth pastor, he talks to me, he says, Gilbert, the mission program they're having at our church, they didn't help with sound. They didn't help with lights. Can you take care of that? And, like, at the time, I was still struggling, like, with my faith. And but at the same time, like, I still had this identity, like, I still had this, like, desire to help people. Not for God, not for themselves, but just for me. I wanted to please people. I didn't want to let people down. And so I was like, okay, I'll go, whatever. I'll just do this. Because you said so, I'll do this. And so I went to this training program. Initially, I wasn't paying attention at all because all I was doing was sound, all I was doing was, like, the lights, all that stuff. But because, like, the program, like, because they saw me hear every lecture, because they heard me say everything, every single experience, like worship and the prayer and the all that stuff, they considered me as a student. So basically, like, I wasn't taking the program, but I ended up taking it unintentionally. And so, like, I was like, okay, whatever. I'll just do these for 8 weeks. My mom gave me $200 for it, $100 for the program, the registration fee. The other $100 she gave me just to, like, so I could do it. And so, like, I was like, okay, fine. Because you gave me money, I'll do it. It basically was a job to me. And like I went through the lecture, so like this program is actually this funny thing, because this mission organization that had this program, I'm serving that right now, and I'm actually like the team leader of that program right now for campus. God is a funny God, amen. And so like this program, like they like every week they have these missionaries that come and share about these messages. They share about what is God's heart. They share about what is God's vision. They share about these end times. They share about Islam. They share about mission spirit and spiritual warfare. All these like stuff that like I didn't know about growing up as a Christian. I didn't know what it meant to like pick up our cross and carry and follow him. I didn't know what it meant to say like if one seed will die, then it will bear many fruit. I didn't know what that meant. And like at the time, like I was just taking this like I was taking this like program, and because I was in the very back, like over there, I was just doing this, sitting down. I didn't pay attention, but they considered me as a student, so I took it. And like because like once you so I took this program, I graduated after 8 weeks, and I was like, okay, I took it, I'm good, I'm done, thank you, bye. But then next semester, they said, Gilbert, we need help with lights. Can you help again? I'm like, oh, fine. I'll come again. And after this term, this was spring 2011. No, my bad. This was fall 2011. They had this opportunity for these short-term mission trips. That once you graduate this 8-week program, training program, you're able to go for 2 weeks on a mission trip to the Middle East, to the 1040 window. And before I go into that, I'll show an example of what is a 1040 window. Are you able to show like the map? Yeah, that one. Yeah, you just went to it. That one. Yeah. And so like here is a 1040 window, and basically like this, you see the little highlighted area, that is like where like our mission organization does the most work, and this is where actually like the most unreached people groups are. And what exactly is an unreached people group? An unreached people group is an area, a people group that has no church. Not just that, but has very few. If any Christians living in that area. And so, like, and also the same thing is, like, a lot of the world religions, they live in this area, as the main one is obviously Islam. You can see, like, Saudi Arabia there, Egypt, Tunisia, like, and also Hinduism with India right there, Buddhism with, like, Cambodia and, like that stuff, and Thailand and all that stuff. And Turkey is also a Muslim nation. And so our mission organization, we focus on these areas specifically because this is where the need is the most. This is where, like, the fewest Christians are, the fewest churches are, and like these people, like if they do not believe in Jesus Christ, they will burn in hell. And like that, is, as a church, that is our responsibility to share the gospel to them. And so, 2011 winter time, there was an opportunity for the graduates to go on the short-term mission trips to the 1040 window, and the nation that was open was Tunisia. If you guys, it's in Africa right there. And you see like these big countries like Algeria, and you see Libya. Tunisia is like right tiny. It's like right there, so tiny. A very tiny nation. I think it's smaller than California, honestly. And it's a nation that like, who heard of it? I never heard of Tunisia. I heard of Indonesia. But what is Tunisia? I don't really know what that is. I don't care for that place. And I wasn't gonna go. It's like, because it's Christmas time. I'm not gonna spend from December 21st to January 3rd in some Middle Eastern country that I have no care for. I'm not going to do that. Besides, my brother's birthday is right after Christmas. I'm not going to miss my brother's birthday to go on this mission trip. Why? It doesn't seem necessary. I was like, I don't want to give my own life. I just want to live for myself. But then, like, this is really kind of embarrassing. But as like this mission, this program was going on throughout the fall, this girl from my church, everyone's like, ah, gotcha. She took this program, and she wanted to go on this short-term mission trip. Oh man, enough said. Yes, exactly. Enough said. And so she said, Gilbert, let's go on this trip. Let's go to Tunisia. And I'm like, I'll think about it. I initially wasn't going to go, but because you want to go, I'll go. Why not? I want to spend time with you. I mean, I want to spend time with the nation. Obviously, I didn't tell her that, but like that's what my intention was. And like, we were like, let's go on this trip. Because like, I know it's going to be with other people throughout North America, and like, I know other people from like who have taken this program in like Houston or like Florida or like New York or whatever, like they're going to join us too, but I want to spend 2 weeks with her. I want to try to just get to know her more, better. And so like, okay, I'll go. Obviously, I didn't say that to everybody, but I said, my intention, I want to share the gospel. I was lying on it, obviously. That was not my true intention. And so like, we were preparing to go. But then 2 weeks before we leave, she says, guys, I can't go. My parents won't let me go. And I'm like, what? Wait, what? You're not going? Well, if you're not going, I don't want to go either. But like, I already like took work off. My parents already said they're okay with it. I don't want to go. And like, I had a crisis. I was like, what do I do? I'm trapped. Like, I have two options. Either I go on this trip and I just waste 2 weeks of my life here in this nation, or I don't go and I just bail out and like just feel so much shame and so much embarrassment. Because like everyone knows, like my parents are okay with it, my work is okay with it. The only reason I would not go is like I had an accident or like I injured myself or something. And besides, I was too scared to like jump off a cliff, so I didn't want to do that either. And so the only option was like I either go or I don't go. What do I do? And so like I swallow my pride. I'm like, okay, God, I pray, I'm like, if this is what it comes to, I'll go. You win, fine, I'll just go, I'll do this. And like, I was like, okay, let's just get this over with, whatever. And so, 2011, like winter time, I went to Tunisia, we follow the example of Luke 10. And so like, when we have these short-term mission trips, we follow the example of Luke 10. I don't think it's on the PPT, but I'll just read it for us. So this is how we base our mission trip, or short-term mission trips on. It talks about how after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And then verse 5, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. And so, like, we go into these places, like, to preach the gospel. And I like to call, like, another word I like to call this short-term mission trip is called bare-bones ministry. What does that mean? When we think of mission trips, we think of, like, going to, like, these places and, like, doing things, like VBS, we make houses, we provide, I don't know, medical things. That's all great. But like because we're going to these short-term mission trips and because we're going to like the Muslim nations that are 99% Muslim, like we obviously can't just be like, Jesus is Lord. We can't be like, Islam is a false religion. We can't obviously shout that out. We have to do it very subtly, I guess. We have to just talk to people and have them come to our house, and then we share the gospel. And then we preach the word to them. And like for 2 weeks we did this. For 2 weeks, like our group of, let's say, I think 20 people, we got into groups of like 3 or 4. And like with the guidance of the local missionary there, with the guidance of like the missionary team that is guiding us and like deciding us where to go, to this place, to this city, and then we just go and like when the groups share the gospel, come back, reorganize the teams, go in other cities, reorganize the teams again, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what we did for 2 weeks. And like during that time, like I thought it was crazy. It's like, okay, example, you guys. If I were to go to your house, knock on your door and say, I'm not going to knock the door, but I meet you on the street. I say, hey, my name is Gilbert. What's your name? Oh, my name is Bob. Oh, hi, Bob. How are you doing? And then, like, they say, can I stay at your house tonight? No, right? Who would do that? But it's funny because, like, when we went to Tunisia, like, that's what I was expecting. I was like, I was walking with my teammates. I was like, who is going to invite us in? How are we going to find this house? How are we going to find this person of peace? It's crazy. But it's like, we just pray as a team, and like God is with us, and like within like 10 minutes of walking, we see these like Tunisian, we see these people. They're like, oh, wait, are those Korean people? Oh, 안녕하세요. That's hello in Korean. It's like, oh, how are you doing? I'm like, oh, you know Korean? I'm like, oh, I watch a lot of Korean dramas, and so yeah, I know Korean. Oh, cool, awesome. You want to stay at my house tonight? I'm like, we're like, wait, what'd you say? He's like, yeah, come to my house. I want to feed you some tea. I'm like, our team is like dumbfounded. We're like, wait, what? You invite us? We don't have to ask or anything. You just want to invite us? And they're like, yeah, like come to my house, sleep over, stay, meet my family, meet my parents. I'm like, okay, sure, let's go. And like, that happens every time for 2 weeks. Every time we're going in the house, we meet people. And they're like, come to my house, come meet my family. One particular example was that it was me and like two of the teammates. We were just sitting at this like big like house. It wasn't very good looking. It was basically like cement walls, but it was still a nice place. And we were just sitting in the living room. And then like there were these two doors, and like this family, because we met this girl, and these two girls, and they invited us in. And we were just sitting there eating fruit, and like one, like every 5 minutes, a relative or a friend just comes in. Oh, hello, Aslama. And like, oh, how are you doing? Oh, thank you, nice to meet you, et cetera, et cetera. And they just go on. Another family, 5 minutes. Another one, 5 minutes. Neighbors come in, 5 minutes. It's like, da-da-da-da-da. It's like a whole like rotation. It's crazy. It's like we met so many people. And like from there, we share the gospel. From there, at the nighttime, we share the gospel. We obviously, because language barrier, but many people in Tunisia, they don't know English. Like we have to learn Arabic. And Arabic is a hard language. Like, I tell you, it's really hard. If you guys know Arabic, like, awesome, praise God. But like, it's a hard language. And like, because like when we're there, the local missionary, they teach us like basic things. They say, where's the bathroom? We in toilet. How much is this? Gadesh walked. Peace be upon you. Salam alaikum. What's your name? Eshismik. They teach us basic stuff. They also teach us the gospel, how to say basic Arabic. So like, Jesus died for your sins. Or Jesus died on the cross. Yeshua hua met alay salib. Like, simple like that. And other stuff too. And like this stuff, like I like was going on this trip, and I was like, this is crazy. How is this gonna work? How is this gonna happen? But really, like this is what happened. And like from this encounter, from this moment, my life was changed. my heart was just opened up. I was like, this is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to live for Christ. This is what it is. It's like, this is what it is. It's like, how could I live my life for myself anymore? So I went back home after this 2 week trip, and my life was changed. Because like that trip, the first time I shared testimony. The first time I prayed for somebody. The first time I didn't just pray for like my own things. I didn't just pray like, oh God, give me a car, oh God, give me money, oh God, give me a girlfriend. I didn't pray for those things. This is the first time I actually prayed for like God, I prayed for this person to know Jesus Christ. And that's when from there my heart was just broken for this nation. My heart was just broken for these people. Because like, these people are just like me. But they did not know Jesus Christ. And how could I just go to heaven and they just go to hell? So they have to know the gospel. But who will share the gospel to them? In Romans 10, it talks about how can they believe in something they have not heard? How can they believe in something they have not seen? Who will share the gospel to them? And from there, like, my life was changed. From coming back on the trip, I was a completely different person. Of course, I'm still a sinner. Of course, I'm still not perfect. Of course, I still have these struggles. But I realized what it means to have God in me. And this is God's heart. This is God's heart. It talks in Matthew 28. Next one, yeah. In Matthew 28, it talks about the Great Commission. This is the last thing that Jesus says before he goes into heaven. Before his disciples, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them everything that I have commanded you, and I am with you to the end of the age. That's the last thing he said, and then he went to heaven. Imagine this, guys. Imagine like your mother. I imagine my mom, and like she's on her deathbed, and like she's like dying, and like she's gonna die in the next minute. And she says, "Gilbert, come to me. I can't speak well, so come to my ear." And I'm like, "Mom, what is it?" "Gilbert, this is the last thing I say before I die. Wash the car every day." What am I gonna do? I'm gonna wash that car every single day. I'm gonna make it clean as I could be. Because that's the last thing my mom said. That is, I'm honoring her wish. I'm honoring her desire. That same thing right here. This is the last thing he says before he goes to heaven. Jesus says, to go make disciples of all nations. And this is why I serve this missionary organization. And that is why like I want to see all people know Jesus Christ. Because this is what his heart is. His heart is for all people. His heart is for all nations. It's for especially those people in the 1041 who do not know Jesus Christ. And like, if we must go where it's most needed. And where it is needed, can you go to the next picture, please? It's So I'm going a little short on time, but I just want to share this real quickly. And so, like, in there, like, it's the unreached people groups is what I meant, unreached people groups. And, like, here's, like, the people that have the most unreached. So, like, 1 billion Muslims do not know the gospel. 7 million Hindus don't know the gospel, et cetera, et cetera. But yet, at the same time, where are missionaries being sent at? They're being sent working areas that have the gospel. They're being sent in areas that have Western influences. And where are they not being sent at? Muslims. There's only 1,000 Muslims working there's only 1,000 missionaries working in the Muslim nations. And yet there's still 1 billion Muslims. What is that? That is a call for us. That is God's heart. He wants these Muslims, he wants these Hindus and these Buddhists and these Chinese to know Jesus Christ. Of course he wants these tribal people and Western people to know Jesus Christ as well. But yes, we're sending the most missionaries to the Western nations. Of course, the gospel is needed everywhere. The God is needed everywhere. But like the biggest need is the Muslim nation. The biggest need is also in these Hindu nations. And that is why like I serve this organization, because like I want to share the gospel to these people. I want to see like these people know Jesus Christ. I want to share the gospel because that is what God desires. So who goes? Who can go? Only pastors? Only older people? Because when I was growing up, I thought a missionary was like this old retired person. And they just go out and they just like do whatever work because like, they're retired. But when we look back, how old were the disciples? Like 20s, 30s? How old was Jesus? He was only in ministry for 3 years until age 33, I believe. He went to heaven. How old was Paul? He wasn't old. He became an old guy eventually, but when he was doing his ministry, when he was doing all that stuff, being a missionary, he was young. I'm not discrediting you. I'm not discrediting the older people in this group. Everyone could go share the gospel. Everyone can share the gospel. But for the young people too, us young people, we have to have the heart to share the gospel. We can't just let the older people do it. Young people have to rise up and share the gospel as well. But who goes? 1 Corinthians 1:26 talks about, oh, there we go, yeah. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful, but not many of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. I'm not a good speaker. I stutter at times. I'm so nervous right now. And like, I don't have any qualifications. I didn't go to any Bible school. I didn't go to seminary yet. But God has given us this commandment to go and share the gospel. He's not calling those who are skilled. He's calling those who will be willing to go. He's not calling those who are the best of the best. He's calling those who will just trust in him. He's calling those who will be obedient. Even the disciples. They were fishermen, tax collectors, whatever. They're all that people. Who are the fishermen of today? Do you know people who are fishermen? No, because no one knows them. But God has called these fishermen to go and share his gospel. And so God is calling all peoples, whether you're like good, whether you're a good job, whether you're a bad job, whether you're rich or poor, whatever, he has called us to share the gospel. And like, I'm not saying this that everyone has to be a missionary and let's say, let's go to the nations and let's just all die there. I'm not saying that for everybody. That'd be cool. But also local church is important too. I'm not saying that we're all just going to like just be martyrs. But what I'm saying is that if you have a heart to go, be obedient. If you have a desire to go, go. Don't just wait and say, oh, I have jobs. Oh, I have family. Oh, I have this and I have that. When Jesus comes back, like we have to bring people back before he comes back. We have to bring people to know Jesus Christ. And our lives are nothing compared to God's glory. And like, we as a church must be goers and senders. We can't just be both. We can't just automatically say that we're senders. Because I know a lot of my friends, like they automatically say, oh, God has called me to come here. God has called me to serve this local church. That's totally fine. But consider, like, are you really confident in that? Can you be a goer and a sender? We cannot just be sent. We can't just assume we're senders because we have a good job. But if God is telling you, if he's telling you to quit your job to go and share the gospel, will you be obedient? And like, that is what his desire is. That is what his vision is. to share the gospel to all nations. And like our ministry, like right now, like our mission organization, like we're doing stuff that like 3 years ago, like it would not have been possible. Like we have Egyptian Christians, people born in Egypt, a person that's placed 90% Muslim, they're sharing the gospel to Iraq. They're sharing the gospel in Tunisia. And I got to meet some of these Egyptians. Like, well, because I was in Tunisia for a year, but that'd be another story. Because I don't have time anymore. But this time, like, they were just singing this song. They were singing this song of just, like, this Egyptian song that they sang. And, like, it was so amazing. It was so just, like, wow, what is this? And, like, the global church is rising up right now. Egyptian church is rising up. Turkish church is rising up. These nations of churches rising up. And like they're singing these songs. They're singing these songs of praise. They're singing these songs that like other Arab nations have not known. And the Egyptian church, they're going out and sharing the gospel to Turkey, to Jordan, to Syrian refugees. And they're singing these songs of Jesus Christ. And they're just people coming to Christ. And so I want to bring my friend Therese up. So Therese is a very close friend of mine. We serve the same mission organization together. But while I serve the campus generation, I guess the campus people at Sac State and other worlds, she serves the people in high school. So she's actually a high school senior right now. She actually was a short-term mission trip. She actually went to Egypt last summer for 2 weeks, and that's when she really encountered God, and that's when she really saw this like this desire to live for His kingdom. And also, like she actually was spent the past 2 months in Morocco as a high school student missionary. Her whole summer, she spent this time just sharing the gospel to the Moroccan people. And like, it's amazing what God is doing in these times. And so what I want to do now is that Therese is going to sing a song from this Egyptian church. The song that she will sing is translated into English, so you guys can sing along, but it's from an Arabic song. And so if you can show the PowerPoint, please.
Amen. We worship a God who loves all people. Amen. We worship a God who loves all nations.
Jesus, we lift your name up.
above all other names. All glory, honor, praise are yours, O God. We bless your name, the name of Jesus. We bless your name, the name of Jesus. We bless your name.
High school senior. How about that? Huh? So I think you get a little bit of a feel why I wanted this young man to talk to us today. Because the scripture says, where there is no vision, people perish. And that's not about on the other side of the world. That's about right here. If we don't have a vision to help people all around us and all around the world, we're going to die. You get that? We'll shrivel up and die on the vine if we don't get our eyes off ourselves, like Gilbert was talking about, and start thinking about, God, what do you want us to do? About the third visit I had with Gilbert, I said, you know, Gilbert, I'm very moved how you go all around the world, walk into a city where you've never been, don't even know where you're going to sleep that night, and you walk into that city and you talk to people about Jesus and you find a place to sleep and somebody to feed you. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? I said, Gilbert, why would you do that everywhere around the world and not do it here in Sacramento? He kind of looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, I need our church to have high schoolers and students from Sac College attending our church. We need them. We need their life. We need their energy. We need their vision. Why wouldn't you, when you're home, when you're not on the other side of the world, why wouldn't you be training young people here, getting young people a part of this fellowship, and we're training them to go with you? Why wouldn't we do this together? He said, I don't know. Nobody's ever asked me that before. 3 weeks ago, he had how many? 25 here? 20 for your training? Yeah, about 15 here for his training session on Saturday night. And then they had the next week another training session for another 15. And I said, you know, that could be something that our church partners with you and all that you're doing, and we get young people on this campus and we're training them. Imagine this. We're training them to go on the other side of the world and share the good news, all a part of what we're doing. Wouldn't that be exciting? Gilbert said, you know, Pastor, I think I could get into this. This would be great. He said, how about I help in a high school ministry for your church? I help somebody and we do a high school ministry. I said, boy, we're so far overdue on that. We need that so badly. So this isn't just about this mission organization and going on the other side of the world. This is about this church and our ministry and our mission field here in Sacramento. And being a part of that as well. Will you pray with me about this with Gilbert? Come on. Gilbert, take a look. They're going to all be praying. You can't get away from that. We're gonna get you in. And think about, it impressed me. Here he was in this junior high school across the street from our church. What if we had a ministry? We're supposed to have a ministry to this junior high school across the street. Wonder how many more Gilberts there are over there that we can impact for the kingdom. Wouldn't that be something? I don't know what I want you to do except start praying about it. And I think if we start praying about it, God will stir our hearts and he'll show us what to do next. I believe that. Yeah. Let's start praying that way and believing that way. We have missionary Dan Anderson coming tonight. He's from Uganda. His wife was to be with him, but she had emergency surgery last week. They removed one of her kidneys, and she's just not physically able to be here. We understand. But I hope you'll come back tonight at 6 o'clock to hear from Dan and our work in Uganda and how you can be a part of that as well. Ushers, would you come forward as we worship the Lord in giving? And I remind you to pick up those love packs on your way out today. We'd love to have you stock your car to be ready to help Jesus this week. And then the crisis care kits are down by those 10 handsome pastors, okay? If you go down there, you can get one of those crisis care kits. Let's bow our heads for prayer. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings today. We thank you for a sense of your presence. I thank you for these two young people that you've brought into our fellowship here today. As we've been able to worship with them and share from their heart, we sense that you're doing something very special here. And Lord, we would ask that you would use this time that we've had today to begin to cultivate something new, something fresh from your Spirit. We don't always know what comes next, but we know we can put our trust in you. And I ask that you would speak to us and guide us and direct us. Let us just know that your Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit that we are in step with you. And as you guide us and help us and direct us, show us your way, we'll give you the thanks and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen.